Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. We have a guest. We're going to introduce him in one moment. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is not open right at the moment, but will be shortly. Call us 1-800-795-9565. When that happens, we're going to interview our guest for about 10 minutes, and then we'll open up the phone lines. You're welcome to email us anytime at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Jason Bendel is with us. He's the brand new superintendent at the Shikellamy School District. You got a contract now? Everything all signed, sealed, and delivered?
Everything's all set.
All right, fabulous. Well, welcome aboard, former superintendent, Danville Area School District. Tell me a little bit more about your background. We know that much. We know you spent some time down in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
What else is in your background?
I won't bore you tremendously with my background, but I was a superintendent at St. Clair Area School District. When I took over St. Clair Area School District, they were struggling financially, had a fund balance of negative $750,000. Spent about 4.5 years there as superintendent prior, about another 4 years or 5 years as principal prior to that, and left them with a positive $4 million. Very proud of that in my career, and during that entire time, we increased test scores also. So
a turnaround there, then to Danville at some point. Tell me about your tenure there, and then I have, of course, the obvious question everybody asks you: what happened at the conclusion? But your tenure at Danville, how did that go most of the time?
Spent 14 months at Danville. I thought that we accomplished some major things during my tenure there. We acquired a land swap with the borough that I think will help out that district long term. Test scores improved while I was there, and I know you're going to ask me why I left. Sometimes when you work at the superintendent level, if the relationship with you and the board is not there, it's not going to work.
How do we know that you'll have good communication or whatever it takes to stay productive with Shikellamy School Board?
Well, I think my record speaks for itself as far as with St. Clair. I had a great relation with the board. We did great things together, and I'm looking to do the same thing here at Shikellamy. I think we're off to a great start, and I think that relationship will flourish here.
You're from Sunbury?
Well, I was born here. Both my parents are proud Shikellamy graduates. I lived here until I was maybe 4 or 5, and my parents moved to Milton, but my parents used to ship me off to Sunbury and Northumberland quite often over the summer, so I spent a good amount of time here in this community, and becoming the superintendent, I'm really excited, and it's a chance for me to give back to this community that I grew up with.
Have you had a chance yet to formulate a plan going forward, what you'd like to see happen under your administration, and if so, what would that be?
I did share a entrance plan with the Board of School Directors. We're still in the process of finalizing that. That will be kind of the first 90 days period, but these things include improving opportunities and academic growth for students, increasing school safety, being a steward of taxpayer dollars, and managing a budget. And one thing I really want to work on is selling the Shikellamy story. I think many times, unfortunately, the media picks up a lot of the negative, and I want to promote the positive. So there's a ton of great things going on in Shikellamy. I'll share a couple things with you right now. We had Anna Wiest place first at the state level in forensics and went on to the national level and made the quarterfinals. She ended up placing 20th at the national level, and this was out of 260 students nationwide. We have one of our high school teachers, a physics and gifted teacher, Colleen Epler-Ruth, is up for State Teacher of the Year. Our theater department took home several Ray of Light Awards, and this year our girls 4x800 relay broke the district record. So there's a lot of real positive things that are happening in Chickalimmie, and I want to make sure that we highlight those.
And academics?
Academics, I think there's a lot of positive, but I think there's area for growth. And what I've told teachers and what I've told the board is I can't change where we're at, but moving forward, I want to see that era moving forward, and I want to see student growth. So,
how about testing? I mean, you know, so much of time is spent today testing kids. Are you satisfied that the tests are a true measure of academic ability?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I think the state has made strides. They've decreased the amount of testing this past year. I think there's still some area to improve there. But I think we're kidding ourselves if we don't say there has to be a measure of some kind of standard across the state. So I think test scores are needed. Are they the end-all, be-all? No, I think there's a lot of other positive things that school districts across the state are doing. But I think they are a measure, and I think we got to look at them, and we got to make sure that we're making growth. You know, I think it's a fair measurement.
Well, you know, politicians seem to love to meddle around with education. We've had No Child Left Behind. We have no shortage of programs, new math, all this stuff. Is any of it worth keeping, or, you know, or should we get back to the basics of education?
The three R's and a chalkboard.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
And a chalkboard.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I question sometimes when our legislators meddle with education, but I think everybody has the same goal. We definitely live in a different society nowadays. I think things are changing, technology. But I agree that with the three R's there, the reading, writing, arithmetic, those are the basics, and they just have to be the backbone of everything that we do. So, you know, I don't know if I have an answer for you. It's the day that we live in, but I think any kid can show growth and succeed.
Well, we have a real cautionary tale about what can go wrong in the school district about 52 miles south of us in Harrisburg, where they set out to achieve rather modest results in several areas and actually underwhelmed everybody by coming in where they were targeting at 43%. They came in at 9%. You know, this is dysfunction between the school board and the administration. It's kids who maybe are growing up in poverty and have learning problems, or disruptive kids. How do you deal with situations like this? I mean, you know, kids are going to cause trouble from time to time, as you probably are aware of at Chickalimmie with the chickens and the upturned desks and tables.
Yeah, I heard a lot. I heard you guys caused a lot of trouble when you were kids, but I don't know if that's true or not. But
no. Don't blame me. I went to Harrisburg schools. They have enough problems.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all about taking every child as an individual, looking for growth. I don't care. Like, there's a big gap when kids come into kindergarten. Some kids come into kindergarten and may know 3,000, 5,000 words, and other kids come into kindergarten and maybe only know 300 words. So that gap exists when they walk in the doors of public education. But everybody talks about, can you catch kids up? But to catch kids up, you're going to have to slow other kids down. So to me, I look at every kid as an individual, and wherever they're at, are we making yearly growth with each child every year? And I think that's possible. Every kid can learn, and it's all about the environment and the education and the rigor of the instruction that you provide.
Well, at the risk of sounding like the old guy I am, I can remember when I went to school, they grouped kids according to their perceived ability to learn. And I guess they stigmatized them because they gave you like 10-1 was the best 10th grade class, 11-1 was the best 11th grade class. But there was a certain camaraderie there. I mean, the kids were able, the teachers were able to teach to a level, and they weren't forced to try and bring other kids who were a little slower up to the level of the fast kids, or the fast kids slowed down to reach the level of the kids who were a little bit slower. I mean, was that wrong? Or is that a completely discredited educational theory today?
Well, I think you can look at that two different ways. I think for me, I want kids to see other kids excelling. And I think that itself will bring the level of what we expect out of kids up. There may be value in both, but I think it's pretty clear that the state has done away with tracking, and that's what you're talking about. You still have that at your high school levels when kids start choosing their own classes and college prep versus, you know, business or something like that. But to me, it's all about providing kids with what they need where they're at. So.
Well, somebody mentioned the chickens, so I guess we're going to have to, Joe brought it up, so we're going to have to talk about that. Your principal and vice principal from the high school are back on the job. Well, describe what the students did in the school, first of all.
So I can't talk about that situation at all. I was not here at that time. I was not part of the investigation. I know as much as you know as far as what was read in the newspaper. I'm going to have to deal with some of that as it's ongoing, but it's really hard for me to comment on that since I was not present. I was not part of the investigation. I think it's very obvious that the community, the people that were involved, I think that everybody felt that, you know, this was a blow to Shikellamy. So I think it is what it is, and we move forward from here.
And you are, though, now part of the adjudication of Lieutenant Colonel Walsh? The teacher?
I will become part of that, yes.
You'll get inserted in that. So is there a time frame on that? I know Matt has something on our calendar, so I know something's coming up.
So there's always a time frame, but as far as me being able to discuss that, I'm not at liberty to discuss that.
Well, that's fine. All right. 1-800-795-9565. If you need to know anything about it, just go on our Facebook page. Everything's already exposed there, so there's no secrets when it came to the chickens in the high school. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. With that, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with open phones. If you'd like to talk to Jason Bendel, superintendent of the Shikellamy School District, brand new superintendent, back in the Shikellamy area, or Danville area, or our region, and so we're glad to say that he's landed on his feet in our local area. Do you live around here? What town are you living in?
We live in Danville. Both my parents are proud Shikellamy graduates, and I lived in this area until I was probably school age, and then my parents used to ship me off here to my grandparents, so I spent quite a bit of time in Northumberland and in the Sunbury area.
So we could find the tree that has your initials carved in it somewhere, somehow.
Yeah, if you look hard enough.
Someplace, okay.
An honorary pine nutter.
JB. JB's carved somewhere. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with open phones.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we're lucky enough to have Jason Bendel with us, brand new superintendent of Shikellamy School District. He's been on the job less than a week, but he's hit the ground running. He's got budgets to deal with, a minor adjudication that hopefully goes smoothly for everybody soon. Let's see, what else are you dealing with? Of course, just the end of year things, so they're not going to shave your hair today, right?
I hope not.
Okay, well, I'm sure they'll tell you. Well, and you land in a district with a lot of superlative teachers. You know, you talked about the media. We don't call enough attention to it. So please, you know, you should come back every couple of months, whether you need to or not, and just tell us what's cooking.
Absolutely. I'd welcome the opportunity to come back.
If you would, compare and contrast Danville's tax base and the funding for education or other districts where you've been to Shikellamy. And does it pose any particular challenges for you here that you didn't have other places?
Well, I've dealt with tough budgets with, but with that being said, I think every school district across the state of Pennsylvania is dealing with tough budgets. You know, the Corbett years where there was flat funding for four straight years didn't do public education any good. You certainly are familiar that the retirement system, PEESRs, have had major increases with a 10-year gap from 5% of your for every dollar that you give an employee. 10 years ago, you were given 5 cents to the state, to now every dollar you give is somewhere around 34 cents. I mean, those are huge increases. Salaries go up every year. Healthcare statewide is going up somewhere between 8 and 10% every year. It becomes very hard to run a business when you have increases like I just mentioned, and your funding stays fairly flat. And I think what the state has done is put it on local municipalities to increase taxes. And nobody wants to increase taxes, but I think we all have to kind of band together and say, fund public school fairly.
Well, the state's big on unfunded mandates. I'm sure you have quite a few of those to deal with.
Absolutely.
How big of a problem do they cause you?
Well, I think it's a major issue. I think one of the major issues across the state is charter schools and cyber schools, charter schools and cyber schools will say, hey, your child can come here free. But what a lot of times people don't understand is that then that child's taxpayer dollars goes with that child. If it's a brick and mortar charter school, your public school is responsible for busing that child within a certain radius. So I think there's a lot of unfunded mandates out there that the state puts on and says, here, deal with it. So
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We have open phones if you'd like to talk to Jason Bendo. Do we call you Dr. Jason Bendo?
That would be polite.
Call me anything you want.
But you are a PhD, or you have a PhD, I should say.
I have a doctorate.
Okay, fabulous.
But you don't have to call me doctor.
Okay. Back to the newsroom very briefly here. The traffic line is now 35 minutes. Joe could have stopped this project from happening, but didn't.
I could have.
Yeah, absolutely. PennDOT set up shop in Shamokin Dam this morning during the morning rush hour. Now we got a half-hour delay on southbound routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. So do be aware of that.
Shall I have the PennDOT people arrested?
Whatever it takes, okay. Joe. You got to make something happen there. Well, let's keep drilling into the budget then. And of course, the correlation is taxes. In what way does more funding help raise up the level of academics? You talked about the fact that different kids come to school with different abilities, so you got to overcome that. You can't have unlimited funding. But in what way does more funding correlate to more achievement?
Well, that's a pretty simple question. Is depending on the level of more funding that you're talking about. With more funding, you have smaller class size. You have the best practice as far as curriculum and things like that, technology. I mean, technology is so hard for public schools to keep up with and is constantly changing. But, absolutely more funding equates to better education for kids. But I think what we have to accept is living within our means and what we can provide kids and make sure that we're providing kids the best opportunities we can within our means.
What should Shikellamy parents do? They're listening, so you get an open mic with our parents locally.
Well, I would encourage them to talk to state and local legislators and just talk about fair funding for education and state budget problems shouldn't be coming off the backs of kids.
And we have unfair funding in what way?
Well, I think I talked briefly about the Corbett administration and flat funding during those years. WOLF has given public ed increases the last handful of years, but those increases have been minimum. We haven't even, public ed in general has not even made up the cost of living from where we were at during before Corbett administration to now. So, I talked about healthcare, I talked about retirement system. All these things cost money, and it's coming off the backs of kids. And local districts are being put into position to potentially raise millage and taxes, and nobody wants to do that. I mean, people want to keep tax levels down.
1-800-795-9565 if you'd like to talk to Jason Bendel, please.
They do want to keep costs down, but I think most people are concerned about making sure kids get a good education. I'm a big believer in public education. But all these cyber schools and the charter schools and all these other opportunities you mentioned, is that misplaced? You know, should we be focusing more on improving the quality of public education as it exists with the brick and mortar we have in place?
Well, I mean, our state has taken the stance of, you know, competition for public schools with charter schools and cyber schools is what you're talking about. What I've always said to legislators is I don't care about the competition, but make it a level playing field. You know, make it that, you know, for certain cyber and charter schools, they don't have overhead costs like public ed does. So 3, 4, 5, 20 kids leave Shikellamy, that impacts our district. We can't reduce a teacher. We can't reduce, you know, the number of books we had or things like that. So I think all I ask for is a level playing field.
How close is the field to being level now?
I think there's some talk at the state level, and I'll stress the word talk. I think it's only talk at this point, but it's talk on both sides of the of this topic. I think there's some movement as far as making charter schools and cyber schools fair and equitable, and then on the other side you have charter schools selling their story. So I think there's some more, there's more talk this year than there has been in the past, so I'm just hopeful that it's gonna go the public ed way.
Well, then you have religious education too, or schools run by churches or other religious organizations. Do they operate with an unfair advantage over the public school system?
No, I think, you know, I think that's a tuition-based type of program. So, and I think that those opportunities are great opportunities for some families that that want to go that route. But I think that it's been tough for some of those schools to continue the function just because of the economy and people not being able to afford tuition. So, I mean, my heart goes out to the Catholic and the other parochial schools that are struggling right now.
Well, they advertise in a lot of cases that they have higher graduation rates and they get a lot more in the way of scholarships for their students. You know, is there some inherent advantage to that type of education?
I mean, I don't really know how to answer that. What I will say is that it doesn't matter who walks in the doors of Shikellamy or any public school district. We can't take who's living in that area. They come for a free and appropriate education, and doesn't matter what kind of background they come from. We get them, and we have to make sure that we provide them a great opportunity and learning environment. I wouldn't say that's the same for some of the parochial schools, but that's not their fault, you know. So it's just a different animal.
Lance, you're on the mark.
Hey there. Well, that bit about more money equals better education, you can blow that right down the road real fast.
Well, he didn't say that.
Well, you knew I'd say that, right?
Well, he did say that there are areas where spending more money can help education, but he did not say that more money equals better education. But in any event, go with your question.
The deal is here, Pennsylvania itself, when it comes to doling out funds, you know, for education, hardly anybody is better. I mean, we're like, we were 6 from the top and 6 from the bottom for SATs. Now we're 7th from the top, 7th from the bottom when it comes to SATs. So that, I don't think, is, you know, terrific. And also, you know, I really believe that someone that works in the Shikellamy district should live in the Shikellamy district instead of, well, I don't exactly how to phrase this and not be offensive, but you're there, I'm sure, living in a really fine section there in Danville, all the doctors and everybody of your income level, and there is no such thing in the Shikellamy district. So,
all right, living in the district. Well, that's not a district requirement, first of all. So, all right, thank you so much, Lance. Talked about that. Improving the state's SATs, and we have a minute left, so you can't get too far into this.
You know, I just think that every school district, I'm not worried about where every other school district is. My focus is Shikellamy. So moving forward, we want to focus on growth for Shikellamy, and that's where my heart and my work ethic's going to go.
Do you think you should live in the Shikellamy district? What's your thought about that? He did ask about that.
You know, that's a tough question. I mean, what I will say is currently I'm not living in the district. I don't think it's off the table if this is a long-term position, which I'm hoping it's a long-term position for me. But, I mean, whether I live here or not, I'm going to be active in this community. You're going to see me at sporting events. You're going to see me at extracurricular activities. I want to get involved with business leaders and sit at tables and talk about workforce development. So to me, that's not a major concern because I'm going to breathe Shikellamy. So.
Well, you're not commuting from Dallas, Texas.
It takes me about 15 minutes to get here. So.
And probably the outer edge of the school district would take less than that.
I would assume I can find areas that will take me longer to commute to.
Right. I understand people say, oh, you should live in the community, but I don't think that's as important today as it once was. Do you, Mark?
Well, you're connected. Certainly connectivity. You can be logged into the Shikellamy computers from home, so to be continued. Thank you so much, Jason. Please come again. Keep us up to date. Your tenure, the first of your many visits over the next 20 years.
So yeah, thanks for having me. I look forward to coming back.
And we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah, and as you change academics and budgets and so on, keep us informed. Jason Bendel, Superintendent, Shikellamy School District. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me. And Mr. Rob Center is on the other side of the glass taking fabulous care of us, so we very much appreciate that. We're going to do some news headlines here. But we have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. We had Dr. Jason Bendel here earlier, new superintendent of Shikellamy School District. Bobby was patient enough to wade through the break. Good morning, sir. Your observation as it relates to Shikellamy. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. You know, from being a Shikellamy graduate in the 70s, of course, a lifetime resident of this area, from, I'm going to say, grade school on up, I think some of the educational programs that should be put in place is starting from, like, elementary school right on up, not just looking at the academics of the high school era, but to try to more focus on the, I'm going to say, elementary school programs as well.
Oh, excellent point. Yeah, well, good point. And he's probably still listening, so we'll put that to him and we'll let him ponder that, and he'll talk about it on his next visit.
All right, thank you.
Yep, thank you very much. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. On the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can also email us at onthemark@wdkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. We'd love to hear from you today. We start out with a few words about traffic, and they are swear words being mumbled by the people on Routes 11 and 15 southbound in Monroe Township and Shamokin Dam today.
Actually, it's all Shamokin Dam at the moment,
well,
according to my map.
By the time you get to 11th Avenue in Shamokin Dam, you have already waited, according to Google traffic, 45 minutes. So a 45-minute delay. Well, actually, there would have been a little drive time there anyway, probably about 5 minutes. So you have already waited an extra half hour. So avoid Routes 11 and 15 southbound.
How do you do that?
I would go Park
Road. Don't even bring that up. That'll just create more messes.
Oh, okay. Well, folks, I'm not going to say this, but you can go Park Road Park Road to 11 and 15. That's the easy way to go. Well, these roads are open to people, Joe. They don't belong to you.
Oh, no. I just worry about creating more people, confusion with people who don't know where they're going, go somewhere they don't know where they are.
Oh, and our good listener just sent me a text, says, please don't send them to Park Road.
Oh, no, I don't think you want to do that.
I appreciate that. Okay, but extra long delays, peak travel time only. PennDOT's doing some patching on Routes 11 and 15 in Shamokin Dam, and we blame Joe for this for absolutely no reason.
I was completely unaware of it until I turned on the radio this morning.
Well, I told you, I blame Joe for no reason. There's no logic behind it. I'm just being mean. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Brief news headlines here. Of course, that road work. There's also a pump-up project on 15 northbound as you go through Winfield. Slight delay there as they try to fix those railroad tracks again. The Central Susquehanna Valley chapter of Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America holding a blood drive in Sunbury this Friday.
We think that a blood drive is a very non-controversial and a very tangible way to support those whose lives have been affected by gun violence.
It is this Friday.
Oops. 1 until 6 o'clock in the evening. It's going to be at the Zion Lutheran Church at 15 South 5th Street.
We're welcoming walk-ins, and it's a tangible way that people can help when it feels like there's just no way to find a solution.
Rebecca Perez and Lynn Ragusio were on a recent edition of WKOK Sunrise talking about the Red Cross Bloodmobile and the Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. He is sponsoring this week, Friday, 1 to 6 p.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Sunbury. A bill which seeks to combat those illegal games. Remember, we talked about games of skill. Some are legal and some are not. Well, a bill which seeks to combat illegal games of skill is now pending in Harrisburg. The state legislature wants to make sure that no one has any fun around here, so they have a new bill.
What's an illegal game of skill?
Well, let's listen.
The bill would reaffirm that games of skill are illegal in Pennsylvania and strengthen criminal penalties for those who manufacture or distribute the devices, which authorities say have been found in every county in the state. The bill's sponsor, Senator Tommy Tomlinson, says he's concerned that children and those with gambling addictions have easy access to these machines.
The General Assembly has worked hard to put many safeguards in place to protect children and those who are with gambling addiction from easy access to gambling. I am very angry that these machines fly in those safeguards.
Officials say illegal games of skill are negatively impacting the Pennsylvania lottery, costing the lottery an estimated $138 million a year in sales. Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
So it's our gambling is good, your gambling bad.
Right, exactly. Right, we don't get money from it. We don't want anybody to have any fun at their expense. If they're having fun with the games of skill, it's at our expense, and so we won't allow that. Yeah, it's a little hypocritical. And let's see.
But there's another bill that is trying to get the state to ban its own games of skill.
What, the casinos?
The casinos are bringing a lawsuit against that. That was in the news this morning as well.
All right. Pennsylvania's casinos are asking a court to immediately stop the state lottery's use. Now, the games of skill are independent private owners. Incidentally, one of the lobbyists for the independent private owners of these games of skill is U.S. Congressman Tom Marino. So you wonder where that mole is going to pop up again. Well, there you go. I mean, in the whack-a-mole game is nothing derogatory there. But he has popped up lobbying for that.
Well,
and of course, his colleague
used to call him Casino Marino, didn't they?
Right, exactly. Yeah, he loves gambling. And his colleague, none other than the person described as the pugilistic Jeff Wieland up in Lycoming County. Spousal abuse, the issue there, incidentally, in case you've forgotten. So they are birds of a feather again today when it comes to the games of skill lobbying. So you can bet it's bad if they're on board with it. But in any event, okay, so this is a whole separate story now. Skip what we talked about the games of skill. The Pennsylvania's casinos are asking a court to immediately stop the state lottery system's use of online gamblings that they say are too much like casino games. The casinos filed paperwork Monday seeking an injunction in their 8-month-old lawsuit, arguing that some of the lottery's online games violate the 2017 state law that authorized them because they simulate slot machines and casino-style gambling. Lottery officials say the games are in accordance with the law. The injunction requests this comes about 6 weeks before the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board has said it'll allow casinos to take their games online, too. Pennsylvania in 2017 became the first state to allow online play for both commercial casinos and its state lottery, as well as to go in search of new and younger. Well, that's their goal, it says here, was to go in search of new and younger players, and lawmakers seek more sources of revenue to meet their growing expenses.
So we're sorry we went. We need to take legislative action to keep people with gambling addictions from gambling, but at the same time, we're trying to find a way to get younger people to gamble. This is what is inherently wrong with this system of gambling for public funding. It is absolutely, in my opinion, criminal, and the state legislature should have their knuckles wrapped.
So sin taxing is what it's all about. So the more you gamble, the more money the state gets. So we don't want
you
to gamble.
But don't you see the hypocrisy of this? We want people
in Harrisburg?
With the gambling addictions. We don't want to make it available to them, but we're going to try and attract younger people into the gambling world.
Right, but doing it online. So, okay, so we got three things going on here. I want to be clear about this because we're kind of smushing them all together. We have these games of skill that have popped up in stores and bars around Pennsylvania, and of course the state legislature sees it as people having fun, so they wish to stop it. And two of the advocates for the games, it would be rare that Tom Marino and I would be on the same side of anything, but honestly, I think, you know, if people want to gamble, they should be able to. That's Lawrence's worthless view, and so...
Well, I agree with you there.
Oh, okay, well, but...
Absolutely worthless.
Okay. Yeah, boy. But anyway, so that's the one thing, the games of skill, and the legislature wants to outlaw those. Secondly, casinos are asking a court to stop allowing the Pennsylvania Lottery to do online slot machine paying. Of course, the casinos can do the online slot machines, but the lottery developed a slot machine type game, and now the casinos say that's, well, they've been saying all year that that's illegal, so they don't want the state to do the same thing they do in the same way. They just want, you know, scratch-offs.
Well, then we have small games of chance that are funding fire companies and other nonprofit organizations. There are specific rules about how much money they have to give to a charitable cause.
Mm-hmm.
So at least there is some guarantee there that something good happens back in the community. But I don't trust, you know, the state always says that the lottery benefits senior citizens. As a senior citizen, I can think of no benefit I've received from the lottery.
Well, you would receive transportation if you sought it. Now, you don't seek it out because you have
have my own car.
You have a gas-sucking SUV that you like to drive around. So that takes care of that. But if you chose to use a senior center, which you do not, but if you did, that would be available to you. We can find out what
the county's funded those.
They help fund them, but a lot of the money comes from the lottery. But the county helps, right? So that if you see a county that's hard up for money, they'll close.
As Northumberland did. Or
well, Snyder and Union have done it, too. They're not the only ones to do it. So, but we can find out what the lottery funding is. Look, I'm not a gambling fan. I'm not a fan of the state lottery at all whatsoever. If it went out of business and it was taken over by a private company, that would be fine with me. But we can find out what the money goes for. You know, a lot of lottery money does go to the
state. The cynic in me looks at it like a tax I don't have to pay. That if, you know, we didn't do this, we'd have some tax take its place.
Well, it's a poor tax.
But, I mean, I look at it from the standpoint of how much good could be done with all this money spent on gambling if it were put to some other more beneficial use.
And
suppose
what,
all those people donated that money to charity instead. Can you imagine how many people be fed, how many people would be clothed and housed?
Right. We wouldn't need to fund senior citizens. We could just, why don't we just fund senior citizens?
But yet, I agree with you, it is, for many people, it's a source of fun. And as with respect to that, I think that you should have some opportunities for people to do that. I look at, like, bingo games. Well, I grew up as a Catholic. Bingo was like our national pastime. You know,
okay.
For years I thought the prayer was under the B5. But seriously, that's, well, that was a joke, son.
I got it. I'm laughing. I laughed. I gave a little exhale.
Okay. But, you know, I don't see anything wrong with games like that and where the money goes to benefit a church or a charitable institution.
What about punch boards?
Well, and then fire companies, they and, you know, bars, they can be a great source of sucking up your money. I don't know what kind of payout you get.
Well, it's a good pastime, too, and it's fun, and sometimes you win.
But sitting there taking a little piece of metal and punching it through a hole in a board and then opening up a piece of paper doesn't seem like a lot of fun to me. I think you get more fun out of a slot machine, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't think people do punch boards as the stimulating exercise of the century. It's just a pastime.
Well, you said fun. You said fun. You think that's fun?
You generally don't do all that much of it alone, so you have the camaraderie of people that you're with. It's just a pastime. That's all, Joe.
Where does a lot of this happen, Mark?
At the bars, in
establishments that serve alcohol. So you have gambling on one hand, and you have the sale of a product that can make you far less inhibited than you might normally be, and far less responsible than you might normally be.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! As Joe has repeatedly said into the microphone, no one makes you reach into your wallet and take out a dollar and give it to the bar for a punch board and a beer.
I never say anything like that. But don't you see the juxtaposition of those two things can lead to abuse?
Right. Well, that's the purpose. That's why they have potato chips out there, because they know that you're going to be drinking.
Salty ones.
Right. Or peanuts. Yeah, not chips, but peanuts. Because they're salty.
So how much of the promotion of this type of thing is acceptable? If the state admits it's trying to attract younger people into gambling.
Yeah, what's wrong with this sentence in the AP version? Casinos and the state lottery are in search of newer and younger players, and lawmakers are also seeking new sources of revenue to meet their growing costs. All right, folks, give us a buzz right now.
Right there, you have the crux of the problem.
Give us a buzz right now. Again, we have three things in play. One, the reprehensible attraction of younger and newer players online so that casinos and the state legislature can have more money. Two, you have games of skill that are currently available in bars and stores and that are a legal form of gambling at the moment. But the state says, wait a minute, we're not getting any money from them, so we're going to have to tax them. And three, you have casinos are concerned about the state lottery. Online slot machines that are run by the state lottery. It's not done, you know, with balls in the air, you know, you pick the number or scratch offs. It's done with an image of a slot machine that spins and it stops wherever it wants. Joe hates all forms of fun. I think people should be free to do whatever they want.
Did you just hear me say I thought there should be some outlet for it?
Okay.
But I think it needs to be regulated.
1-800.
More heavily than it is now.
Joe wants more regulation on gambling. I say less is better. 1-800-795-9565. Free the punch board is going to be the name of my sign when I go down to Harrisburg. Cindy, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Joe, you're really off the deep end this morning, my friend. You know, you're really off the deep end.
How so?
How in the world does it harm you? I choose to buy a lottery ticket. So it's self-taxation, isn't it? I'm choosing to donate that dollar to the state in the faint hope that I might get some money back, right?
The operative
and yet
word being
you
faint.
You object to this.
No, I don't
just
object
find
to
it. Outrageous. I even buy my lottery tickets at local businesses. I go to the gas station, I buy some gas, I get a gallon of milk, and I buy a lottery ticket. And you're upset about this.
No,
Joe.
I'm not upset about that. I accept the fact that, you know, the lottery is going to be an established institution. It is well-run and well-regulated by the state. I guess there's no limit to how much money you can spend on it, and if you choose to spend the milk money on gambling, there's no way I can stop you. I'm concerned about this move to attract younger people who don't gamble to gamble, at the same time saying that we want to keep gambling away from people who have addictions to it. It seems to me we're operating at cross purposes here.
Well, isn't that true about most of the things that are marketed in this country? That in some way they could be considered good, and some people are happy about them, and other people are not. I, for example, don't understand what the pleasure is in sitting in the hot sun watching people throw balls at each other. And yet, thousands upon thousands of people in this country take pleasure in
millions.
It. I'm not going to get on the radio and with a diatribe on Steve Jones about do away with baseball, football, and all these other sports. I just don't see the joy in it myself. But I'm willing to allow my neighbors to have their own joy. They don't have to justify themselves to me, Joe. They're only going to run amok with me if their joy is to take chainsaws to their neighbors' trees and they come to my yard. Now we have a problem. But if they want to cut down all their trees, I don't care. See, Joe, you extend your umbrella of of control far broader than you should, sir.
Joe, I told him before.
You're carrying around a umbrella, you know, an 11-foot umbrella, like on my patio, when really what you need is one of those nice little bubble ones that keeps the rain off you.
I'm going to take odds on what's going to happen to somebody if they cut down your trees.
Oh,
not going to be good.
We'll have a little gambling on that one.
Court.
But seriously, Cindy, I think what bothers me, again, I go back to this thing we're trying to attract younger people to gamble. Is that in society's best interest? Is having all this unlimited gambling that's gone far beyond what easily was predicted when they first started with the daily number? Everyone says, well, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's going to grow far bigger. Well, look at it now. You have gambling almost anywhere. It's hard to find a place. You know, you can't say Las Vegas or Atlantic City are unique anymore. They're far from it. And in Pennsylvania, we've gone off the deep end, I think, in allowing gambling here, gambling there, gambling everywhere.
Joseph, when I worked in Philadelphia at one hospital, every day the nurse's aide would come in and ask me, did I want to buy a number? I didn't know what on earth she was talking about.
You want to buy a number?
Right. And she would go on about this every day. I'm like, what do you mean buy a number? And, you know, this whole thing went on. This went on, Joe, outside of government.
Right.
Okay? I could get in my vehicle. I went on a motorcycle, Harley, all the way to New Jersey, down to that shore, and I put $40 into a slot machine. I made it to 64. Now I'm a perfectly happy person. I threw away $40. I could, frankly, I should not have spent my money that way. I don't get the fun in it. I agree with you. I don't get the fun. But I'm not going to say, I like to garden, but I'm not going to force everyone else to garden. I'm just saying to them, I'm going to garden here. I'm minding my own business. I'm helping the economy,
live
buying
and let
bushes
live.
And trees. I'm fighting carbon, you know, I'm beautifying. I'm not asking you to do it, Joe. You're obsessed over your grass. If I had anything to do with it, you wouldn't have any. But I'm not going to spend my time outlawing your grass, Joe.
Republicans,
you got to let it go, man.
Republicans only think you should act like them. You should not act like anybody else. You should only behave the way they do.
I
hate
to tell you, but the Republicans in Harrisburg who are promoting all this gambling, I think the Democrats
are
going along with
them. These are the same people that are obsessed with women's nipples. I mean, you know, there's just no end to their interference in our lives. And I just want to say one thing about cyber schools and charter schools. The money that goes with the student to the cyber charter school or the charter school, which are public schools, they are not private schools, they are public schools, the money that goes to them is the money the state sends to the school district on behalf of every student.
All right. Thank you so much, Cindy. Appreciate the call. We're going to take a quickie break. We've got a caller waiting, but we'll take
Steve,
more comers. 1-800-795-9565. In what way, if at all, should gambling be legal? In what way should it be regulated? In what way should it be taxed? Should the state do it? Should be games of skill be allowed? Should we be allowed to be free in the U.S. or not? One note from the newsroom. It's now up to an hour-long delay to get through Shamokin Dam if you're on Routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Pop-up road project there. Unannounced project. That's why I say pop-up. But that's on Routes 11 and 15 in Shamokin Dam. Joe didn't know it until he heard it on the radio. But now they are at just a little bit past 11th Avenue as they work down the highway. Traffic's backed up past Glick's facility and past the 11 and 15 split headed towards Winfield. So avoid Routes 11 and 15 southbound if you can. I'm not going to tell you to use Park Road, but I think a wise person would.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got our callers lined up here, so I'm not going to say the toll-free line. Oh, what the heck. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Steve, you were first in line, waited through the break. Thank you so much for calling in. We're talking about legalizing gambling in some way, somehow. You're on the mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody?
I'm perfect. Glad to hear from you. Steve K. is the man on the phone.
Right. Hey, I cannot. I can't believe that I am agreeing with Cindy, but she's exactly right. For one thing, if people want to gamble to the point where it's going to be a problem, they're going to do it whether the state provides casinos or not. You know, some people are just into that the way some people are into, let's face it, alcoholism or other things like that. But if somebody enjoys, and, you know, to be, I enjoy putting a couple of bucks down now and then, just for the fun of it, really. I don't think I'm ever going to get rich or even, you know, pay my mortgage for the month with gambling, but you know, people are going to do it, and you know, I guess Joe has a problem with it. As far as the alcohol connection, I'm not buying that either. You know,
why not?
Yeah, I just don't think, you know, if I'm in a casino, let's say if I'm in a casino and I know how much I can limit myself to. If I have a drink or two, all of a sudden I'm not going to say, you know what, maybe I'll raise that limit. Maybe I'll just, I'm there, when I gamble, it's for entertainment. That's the thing.
Okay, but you don't see the hypocrisy in trying to encourage new people to gamble. And there was just a story, Steve, I don't know whether you heard it, where a casino was fined, the employees were fined. They provided like 14 drinks to some guy who gambled excessively.
And who
he was completely inebriated, and they continued to ply him with alcohol while he gambled.
Oh, sure, I think that's another issue. That's like just a guy who's sitting at a bar and buying drinks left and right, and you can either just take gambling out of the equation. If the bartender is continuing to serve him drinks, even though he sees the man is inebriated, that bartender is going to be he's going to be fined. He may lose his license. So I think that's a different issue. You know, the whole thing is even trying to get younger people to gamble. Again, look at it from the fun aspect, which I understand, Joe, you're kind of against fun, but we'll look at it from that aspect. You know, when they say we're trying to get younger people to gamble, it's just we're going to try to make the experience more fun. If you're going to go to a casino, maybe you can have some fun there. I tell you, Joe, I have been in, I can picture one casino I was in. Oh my gosh, it was the most depressing place. It was dark and kind of gloomy. That's not the kind of place that's going to attract anybody. So you make it a little more fun. It doesn't mean that people are necessarily all of a sudden going to say, well, listen, instead of spending $25 as my limit, this place is so much fun, I'm going to increase it to $200. I just don't see the connection.
So what regulation, if any, should we have on gambling? Should it be deregulated?
No, I think gambling is one of those things, like alcohol, that does need to be regulated, only because I'm not quite sure of my feelings about this, but you've got something like alcohol that if it's used improperly, can cause harm. And there's a lot of things like that.
All right, we got you. I got to get another caller, but thank you so much, Steve.
If I want to have fun, Steve, I'll go to Knoebels, where I get something for my money and have a good time, eat some good food, have a good, you know, a fun afternoon.
Just stay away from that cake wheel. Don't get on the cake wheel.
Should we regulate the cake wheel?
Maybe we better, because that could be fattening as well as lose your money.
Don't.
Hey, you guys have a great day.
Thank you so much. Do not behave any way at all except the way Joe does. All right, we'll take another quickie break. 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back. We're talking about gambling. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 1-800-795-9565. Chris, thank you so much for your patience. I really appreciate it. You're on the mark.
Okay, I got three comments there. One is from yesterday's show, the breast milk being taxed or being regulated. Everybody seemed to be making fun of that. It seems to me there's very good reasons for it, because we're talking not about private sales, but we're talking about milk. It's the milk banks that were being taxed, which means somebody's in the business of collecting and selling. It needs to be stored probably at certain temperatures. It's got the people who are donating should be checked for an array of diseases, I believe. And somebody should be checking, giving information about what the rules are and inspecting the premises once in a while.
I don't think they're for profit groups. I don't think they sell it for a profit. I think they sell it as a clearinghouse.
Certainly, the women who are selling it for their profit.
So let the buyer beware wouldn't work.
Now there are ones that donate the milk to, or at cost or free to people who need it and want it, and there's also ones that sell it for profit. But in any case, you have to know that people are being checked for there's an array of diseases that might affect infant through breast milk. So anyway, at least I think there are. If there isn't, they should at least check to make sure that that is the case. Now, the second thing was to prove she who must not be named is right about Joe. One day he's arguing that it's perfectly fine to have bare nipples in public for women, but the day before he wanted to make laws against how high underwear could be outside of pants or how low pants could be on men. Because why? He enjoyed looking at one and not at the other. So let's make a law.
The emperor has no clothes.
And the third thing was, in view of the shooting at Virginia and others, if you're talking about taxing things to, like gambling, to help pay for addiction counseling and whatnot, maybe there should be a very high tax on guns and ammunition to pay for all the extra security, the extra bulletproof vests that police need, and all sorts of expenses connected to the number of guns available in the United States that causes extra security in government buildings, sporting events, etc. And if we're talking about the Virginia shooting, I'd also like to know if, besides the tax I just referenced, whether our resident gun expert might be interested to know that Virginia did decline to fail to pass two laws that were proposed. One was for the extended loads,
high capacity magazines.
Yeah, high capacity clips, which might have had some effect on this particular case. And they also rejected registering and reporting all stolen guns and lost or stolen guns and registering all firearms transactions. Whether he objects to either of those.
Oh, both. I'm sure he objects to both.
Well, he does in his store. I'm sure he records all his. So is that an undue burden on him? I don't know.
Well, in Pennsylvania, he's 100% in compliance with the existing laws, if that's
right.
what you're talking about.
But does that mean he doesn't think they're good laws or not? I don't know.
I don't know.
I know he's
the last thing anybody's qualified to do is to speak for Stan, so we'll let him talk about that.
Stan can speak for himself. That's
righty,
sure.
Right. Okay. All right. Are those your topics?
Those are my three.
All right, well, you're past 4 minutes.
If you have some questions or say something about one of them, go ahead. Otherwise,
well, we got Paul waiting, so we got to go.
Go on to the next caller.
All right, thank you so much, Chris. Very much appreciated. Yeah, the government's going to get to the bottom of this breast milk issue, so we can count on our state lawmakers. If there's one thing John Gordner and Senator Cormann know a lot about, it's breast milk, so we can count on them for sound regulation.
I'm glad you added the word milk after that.
Well, yeah. I don't know that they have an opinion on the nipple issue, but I'm sure they would like people covered up. But, yeah, they got to get the handle on this breast milk topic. Plus, it's a source of revenue. That's what it's really all about. But that is not what Paul called about. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Okay. Speaking of gambling, I would like to ask a question. And my question is, isn't all of life a gamble?
Yeah, but nobody's giving you odds on it or paying you whether you win or lose on it.
And don't say that too loud.
They don't have to, because that is a judgment in which you yourself give. One thing that I did learn is that the house is not going to lose. The house has to win or it can't pay out.
Do you have life insurance, Paul? If you do, you're gambling. You're betting the insurance company you're going to live. The insurance company's betting you're going to live long enough to pay it off. You're betting they won't. You won't. You got the short side of that deal.
I know, but are they going to give me a new life when this one wears out?
No, but they're going to give you money if they're right and you're wrong. And you die.
I can't spend it.
You can't, but your heirs can.
Well, then, it's not for me. Then life insurance is not for me. It's for those that survive.
But it's still gambling. The insurance company's betting you're going to live. You're betting you're going to die.
It's a gamble, and you have to decide whether or not you want to take the chance or not take the chance. It's sort of like the king, if he was convinced that he was wearing invisible clothes, or the clothes that were made with invisible threads, and everybody complimenting how well he looked.
But Paul, if you decide not to take the chance, what's your option?
Well, if you don't take the option, you don't lose and you don't gain. You stay the same, but you're not a loser.
Well, I'll have to mull that one over.
Game of life. The game of life, right?
Right.
All right, we got you, Paul. Thank you so much. Unanswerable as predicted. Joe, you got an email?
Right. Dick says, and finally somebody who agrees with me, by and large, the Pennsylvania Lottery has to be a losing program. Why else would they have to have so many daily drawings at noon and again at 7, plus the Mega Millions and Powerball both twice a week? It reached a limit with me, as you now gamble all day, every day on your phone. When will it end? It only makes many that can't afford this become addicted, always thinking just one more time and I will be rich. I know some that it is like, for some it's like drinking, they just can't stop.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take a quickie break. When we come back, we're going to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company, but let's get a very brief message about them first.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Cindy, you get a minute. Go right ahead.
So, Joe, I'm assuming you oppose the stock market game that they're pushing in all of the schools right now?
No, not really, because there's no money changing hands. It's theoretical.
But isn't that training young people to buy stock? And really, buying stock is really a gamble. Nobody's buying stock saying, oh, let me buy this stock. This company's a loser.
But it's
They're all buying
Cindy,
stock, hoping that the company is successful.
Cindy,
and what happens? Then they get a dividend, or their stock goes up in value.
You certainly see the difference between the two. If I buy a stock, I've invested in a company that hopefully does well and makes me even more money.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but I still get something in return for my
ticket,
money.
You're doing the same thing.
Not really, because I'm probably not going to, as you point out, I'm probably not going to win anything. I've just given my money to the state.
There's no assurance when you buy stock that you're going to make money. When Obama was in office, we bought probably five or six different stocks of solar companies. And you know what happened to them?
Yeah, they
went out
of
business. And every one of them, Joe? Each and every one of them went bankrupt.
They plummeted.
Well, so
we gambled. We gambled on them, and we lost.
No, you invested unwisely.
Not necessarily unwisely.
You know, this is one of the penchants that elected officials have. I call it the word game, right? So they don't like to say that they're spending tax dollars. They say they're investing. And that word is, in my vocabulary, becoming an obscenity. It just means I'm going to pull some hook on someone else.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much. Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Why, Joe, I disagree with you on one thing. That life insurance is gambling. You know what? So far, about only two people in the history of Earth ever didn't die. So, I bought my life insurance because I'm guaranteed to die unless the rapture comes first.
Who's the second person that didn't die? Mary?
Enoch and Elisha. And Enoch was raptured out.
Oh, okay.
In the early days, and Elisha went up in a chariot.
Well, Dan, here's the deal. You eventually do die, and so the insurance company pays off. But you are betting that you will die before you can pay off that policy. They're betting that you won't.
I paid mine off. I bought mine outright, so mine's paid off. It's actually earning interest pretty good.
You won. The insurance company lost.
They'll pay when I die. My funeral director gets my life insurance, and that'll pay for my burial. Plus, if there's any left, my lucky heirs will get the money.
All right, so, we got you.
It's not, but let me tell you, I'm going to say another thing on gambling, Joe. I'm a hypocrite. I take all, like, on the lottery, I take the benefits they offer, but I'm too tight to ever buy a gambling ticket. I'll take the property tax rebate. I'm more than willing to take that if I needed PACE, which I can't get. I'd take that, Joe, if I could get it, which comes out of the lottery. So you can't ever say that Dan's not a hypocrite.
Okay. I would never say that, Dan.
It's a conflict of interest, and I realize that, Joe, but they offered, and being a tight Dutchman, I'll just take it.
Well, unfortunately, there's hypocrites on the other side that just enjoy punch boards and gambling and the Powerball and all those other things, and they're not senior citizens, so they don't get any of the benefits of it other than to have a good time and, you know, the enjoyment.
That's one advantage with age. Besides, you get the senior citizen discount at a lot of your restaurants, and you can get a free cup of coffee.
I got you.
At some places, even if you don't buy the donuts to go with it. So there's advantages with age.
I must not look my age, because nobody offers me the senior citizen discount.
No, they still charge Joe. He still gets carded at bars.
You know, if you don't ask, they won't give it, even if you look your age, which you don't. But if you look your age, they still won't give you that discount unless you have to ask for it, which probably most people miss them discounts because they don't ask.
Well, I still think that's a little misplaced. I think young people who are starting families and raising kids need the discount more than us senior citizens, but that's just me personally.
Oh, I don't know about that. All right, thank you so much,
Don. All right, you guys have a great one. Great program again today.
On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 to 15, Hummelsworth. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. And do as I've done, that's go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. We've taken all of our vehicles there. The XUV that we have here with the colorful wrap is ready for its inspection, so that'll go to the Quick Lane. They'll get it inspected. They'll pump us up with nitrogen again, and they'll take care of the alignment. They'll wash the vehicle, and they'll make sure that it is roadworthy for all those summer trips that will be taken. It's going to be in the Union County Veterans 4th of July Parade. It's going to be at a lot of other places where the locations escape me at the moment, but that's why you know that vehicle is going to make it. If they were going to keep the air conditioning running while we're chit-chatting at that location, you can bet that that vehicle is going to be good to go because it's been checked out at the Quick Lane, Sunbury Motor Company Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. sunburymotors.com. One of our listeners sends us a note, says it's time for school districts to stop looking for alternative funding sources and use your tax dollars wisely and reduce spending. Time to stop milking the taxpayers and taxing people out of their homes. You'll soon have no one to tax.
No, then we'll just switch over to all gambling.
Well, that's all we'll have to do. We'll do all online gambling. We'll try to get some more young people hooked. And we'll go from there. Thank you, Joe. We'll see you in the morning.
See you then.
Joe McGranahan, mayor of Shamokin Dam, our good conservative co-host, natural-born listener. And we'll be back tomorrow, and he can tell us how we should live like him. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. 10 o'clock. Good morning.